saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house where the child and his mother Mary were, and they all fell down before him and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But when it was time to leave, they went home another way, because God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Thank you, choir. Terry's a little more daring than I am. She asked the children up here to close their eyes. I have just the opposite problem with the young folk out here. Don't close your eyes, okay? Here we are. We're talking about a heat index today over 100 degrees. And I'm supposed to try to get you in a Christmas mood up here during the message. So let's start off on a little lighter note, okay? According to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, I'm going to explode some myths here this morning. According to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, while both male and female reindeer grow antlers in the summer each year, male reindeer drop their antlers at the beginning of winter, usually late November or early December. Female reindeer retain their antlers until after they give birth in the spring. Now, this brings up a problem for you and me as we prepare our minds and hearts for Christmas. Because, according to every picture depicting Santa's reindeer, every one of them, from Rudolph to Blitzen, has to be a girl. We should have known. Only women would drag a fat old man in a red velvet suit who works one day a year all around the world in one night and not get lost. Now, I'm glad the children aren't in here this morning. They'd be in tears by the time this is over. Let's take it a little bit further. Think with me, is it possible that Santa is a woman? I hate to be the one to question the sacred myth, but it's very conceivable that he could be a she. Think about it. Christmas is a big, organized, warm, fuzzy, nurturing social deal. And I have a tough time believing that a guy could really pull it off. For starters, the vast majority of men don't even think about selecting gifts until Christmas Eve. Once at the mall, they always seem surprised to find only Ronco products, socket wrench sets, and mood rings left on the store shelves. In this count alone, it's conceivable that Santa could be a woman. Surely, if Santa were a male, everyone would wake up Christmas morning to find a rotating musical chia pet under their tree, still in the shopping bag. Another problem for he Santa would be getting there. First of all, there'd be no reindeer because they would all be dead and strapped to the rear bumper of the sleigh, and Blitzen's rack would be over the fireplace. Even if a male Santa did have reindeer, he would inevitably get lost in the snow and the clouds and then refuse to stop and ask for directions. Other reasons that we might consider about why Santa may not be a man: men can't pack a bag. Men would not be caught wearing red velvet. Men feel that their masculinity was threatened if they had to be seen with all those elves. Men don't answer their mail. Men refuse to have their physique described, even in jest, as anything resembling a bowl full of jelly. Doing the ho-ho-ho thing would cramp their macho-ness. And finally, being responsible for Christmas would require a commitment. And someone else has taken it even further. Have you ever wondered what would have happened if the wise men had been wise women instead, that very first Christmas? Someone has suggested that they would have asked directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned up the stable, made a casserole, and brought practical gifts. Okay, now let's get down to the sermon, please. A woman was in the mall with her two children. After many hours of looking at row after row of toys and everything else imaginable, after hours of hearing both children asking for everything they saw, she finally made it to the elevator, loaded down with packages and with two children in tow. She was feeling what many of us feel during the holiday season: overwhelming pressure to go to every party, every housewarming, taste all of the holiday food and treats, getting the perfect gift for every single person on our shopping list, and making sure we don't forget anybody on our Christmas card list, and the pressure of making sure that we respond to everyone who sent us a card. Finally, the elevator doors opened to reveal that it was already crowded. She pushed her way in, dragging her two kids and all the bags of stuff. When the doors finally closed, she blurted out, "Whoever started this Christmas thing should be shot." From the back of the elevator, a calm, quiet voice responded, "Don't worry, we already crucified him." The rest of the trip on the elevator was stunned silence. God began this thing of giving gifts. The Bible says, "For God so loved that he gave." It's appropriate to talk about this as we think about our gifts for the children. Can you imagine children in a third world country receiving that little box? For most of them, it's probably their most prized possession. I've told Catherine numerous times, can you imagine people from third world countries? Their idea of a store, you go into this little 10 by 10 room and there may be a loaf of bread on the shelf, maybe not. Maybe a can of beans, maybe a few vegetables there, and that's it. Then they come over to the United States of America and they walk into a super Walmart. I've lived here all my life and I'm still overwhelmed by it all. Now, notice God started the gift giving and the wise men carried it on. I want you to notice a couple things about this simple story that Catherine shared with us this morning from Matthew 2. First of all, their gifts were personally given. These were wealthy men from Iraq. They could have overnight FedExed the gifts to Jesus. That would have been a whole lot easier. But they were on a mission and they wanted to personally give those gifts to the Christ child. When we read this story, the personal part really stands out. Verse 2, we have seen his star and we have come to worship him. Verse 9, they went their way. Verse 10, and when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. Verse 11, they came into the house. They fell down before him and worshiped him. They opened their treasure chest. The gifts were personally given. Second, the gifts were properly given. They were more than just gifts. More than just the gift of gold, which is a fit gift for a king. More than just frankincense, which would be a gift for a priest. And myrrh, which is used in embalming. The wise men gave gifts with worship, adoration, glory, honor, and praise to Jesus. Now, as we think about our giving, let me propose to you there are three kinds of gifts that we give at Christmas time. First of all, there is the gift for a gift gift. You get that? The gift for a gift gift. We get a gift from someone and then we go out and buy the same price gift for them. It's a gift for a gift gift. One characteristic of a gift for a gift gift person is they keep long mental notes of the value of the gift. They keep score. This approach fills the cash registers in stores. Every Christmas Eve, thousands of people go shopping because they just got a gift. And they've got to reciprocate with a gift for a gift gift. We say, I've got to get a gift for them because they gave me one. I wonder how much it cost. The same thing with cards. Nothing's worse than us getting a Christmas card from someone whose name wasn't on our list. Oh my, what shall I do? And let me share this with you. I realize it's only July. So let me give you some time to think about it. One of the things that really irks me is to get a Christmas card from someone that maybe you haven't seen all year, maybe you haven't seen in several years. Oh, right, wonderful, I got a Christmas card from them. And you open up the card and there's the little printed greeting on there. And they sign it Bill, or Bill and Susie. Frankly, I wish they wouldn't have wasted the money on the postage and the card. Say something. Sure would be great to see you or thinking about you and just wanted to let you know how special you are. Anything. Okay, I got that off my chest. Let's go on. Second gift. A gift for a favor gift. Now, this person doesn't respect a gift in return. They give a gift. They give a gift and expect us to do something for them. This person loves to keep score. They love to have IOUs out. We've all given gifts and didn't expect to get back, but we did expect a favor down the road somewhere. Aha. Okay. The third kind of gift was the gift of the wise men. And it's called a grace gift. A grace gift is unrepayable. That gift in turn comes from God, who loved us enough to send God's Son that you and I might have eternal life. A grace gift from God. We can't work for it. There's no way that we can repay it. As God's children, we're called to give gifts that can't be paid back. It's impossible to measure the cost of the gift. We need to quit running down the department store aisles every time we think of somebody. We need to begin to share grace gifts that will really, really last. And grace gifts are usually non-material. First of all, there's a togetherness gift. The wise men came to visit the Christ child. We should think that way too. Don't let USPS or UPS or FedEx do it all for you. Put yourself into it. Sometimes it's not only being together, but it might well be a service gift also, doing something for somebody. The greatest gifts are those that do not, cannot have a price tag on them. Back to our text. The wise men teach us five things about giving. First of all, they teach us to give an unexpected gift to someone. Mary and Joseph, now remember, the wise men probably came a couple of years after Jesus was born. It was a long trip. Okay? And it talks about the wise men coming into the house where they were. But Mary and Joseph didn't keep looking out the window saying, okay, where are those wise men? They're supposed to have been here already with those gifts. No, they had no idea. The best gifts are unexpected gifts. Someone has done something for you maybe years ago. Think about it. Maybe even right now, write their name down on your sermon insert there. Aha, here's somebody I could do something for. Do something for them. They're not going to expect anything. It's going to be a grace gift. Do something for somebody and expect nothing in return. Some of the best gifts we've ever received were unexpected gifts. The second thing about the wise men is that they gave their gifts with genuine joy. They rejoiced when they saw the star. They rejoiced when they saw Mary and the baby. They could hardly wait to give their gifts. Richard Foster, an author, says, "Giving with a glad and generous heart has a way of routing out the tough old miser within us. Even the poor need to know they can give. Just the very act of letting go of money or some other treasure does something within us. That something is that it destroys the demon greed." One man prayed, "God, you can have anything that I've got if you can pry it out of my hands." That's not joyful giving, okay? The wise men gave with genuine joy. When I was 14, we moved from Massachusetts to Florida. I got a job down there. I'd always mowed lawns and raked leaves and shoveled snow up in New England. But I got a real job down there working at a lumber company. Now, this wasn't one where they had acres and acres of pre-cut wood. This is one where they'd get into rough lumber and they'd finish it up and prepare it for whatever it was intended for. So I got to do all the good stuff like shoveling up all the sawdust and shavings and taking it out the back and dumping it and all that good stuff. But with that job, I had a weekly paycheck. And the first paycheck that I got, late in August or early in September, whenever it was, I went downtown in this little town we lived in. There weren't Walmarts around then. I went to the hardware store first, and I laid away a Christmas gift from my dad. It was a seed spreader. And then I found a pop-up toaster for my mother. Now, that may not sound like much of a Christmas gift, but to that point, the only toaster we had was one of these where you open up the doors, you put the toast in, you toast it for a little while, open up the doors, turn the toast around, toast the other side. You remember those? This was a pop-up toaster where you could toast the bread and have it still soft. That first Christmas night, we went through a whole loaf of bread. Now, the other gift, the seed spreader. My dad loved to work in the yard. We lived in a nice little subdivision, had four grapefruit trees and three orange trees right in our yard there. And my dad unwrapped that seed spreader. That was a hard thing to wrap up too. He unwrapped it. And you know what he said? He said, "This costs too much, you're going to take it back." I never defied my dad up until that Christmas. I said, "That is your seed spreader. If you want to take it back, here's the receipt. Do what you want with the money because it's all yours." He kept it. He used it. But for you and I to be able to give joyfully. Thirdly, another thing the wise men teach us about gift giving, their gift was personal. We've already talked about that. Fourth, they gave a gift that would last. Now, this story has been told for over 2,000 years. Everyone knows what the wise men gave. Give a gift that will last and you know, a lot of times we can't go out and buy one of those. The gifts we buy wear out, they break, they get lost. How many of y'all have ever spent an all-nighter on Christmas Eve trying to put the gifts together? Nobody? I have. Yeah, oh yeah, okay, I see. There we got a few. You know what it's like, you know, tab A never goes into slot A, it doesn't fit. You know, then you're missing nuts and bolts and all that sort of thing. Let me give an idea of a couple gifts we can give at Christmas that'll last forever. First of all, there's a gift of memories. There's nothing like giving the gift of good memories. Make sure this Christmas that you do something with and for the family that'll create these good memories. One thing that'll last for our children and spouse that'll give them great memories is to spend time making memories with them. Second gift we can give them that'll last forever is a godly heritage. It'll keep giving for generations. That's what we're taught in the Bible, and that's the kind of gift that'll last. One more thing the wise men teach us about giving. Here we are in July, and it's a long time until December 25th. Let's get radical about this. How about if we give the gift now? A lot of people give because it's December 25th. They don't give on December 26th, 27th, 28th, and all through the year. But okay, it's Christmas time. Yes, it's kind of like with funerals. Another thing that irks me is people that'll spend hundreds of dollars on flowers for somebody that doesn't even know the flowers are there. What do you think would happen if we gave them the flowers while they're still living and breathing? Just to let you know I was thinking about you. Just to let you know how special you are. Just to let you know that I care. Just to let you know that I'm praying for you while you're going through this difficult time. There's a quote from Samuel Johnson. He says, "One who waits to do a great deal of good all at once will never do anything. Do it now." They were going to be all they wanted to be tomorrow. None would be braver or kinder than they tomorrow. A friend who was troubled and worried, they knew, would be glad for a lift, and he needed it too. And on him they would call and see what they could do tomorrow. Each morning they stacked up letters they'd write tomorrow, and thought of the folks they would fill with delight tomorrow. the greatest of people they might have been, the world would have opened its heart to them, but in fact they passed on and faded from view, and all that they left when their living was through was a mountain of things they intended to do tomorrow. Don't be the one who someday is going to do something, love somebody, give something, help someone. Right now, reach out and give and love and care. The wise men were not going to go back home until they gave their gifts to Jesus. No doubt they were discouraged. People probably told them, you're never going to find him. Babies are being born everywhere. You'll never find him. You know, one of the saddest things that I've encountered in almost half a century of pastoring is being at a funeral and hearing family members and friends say, oh, if I only had one more day to talk to them, to tell them I love them, to apologize for something, I just wish I could see them one more time. Why wait? Forget the expensive gifts. The best gifts are memories and reflections of God's love and care. Don't wait until your children are grown, and for a lot of us, we're already there. Go home and make some memories with us now. Forget work. Take a day off and play ball with the children. Spend time with your spouse and family. Take them on a trip. Most important things we can give our family are time and love. This Christmas, whether it's in July or December, don't miss an opportunity to share love and hugs with someone. Some of us need to reach out and touch someone today. That letter we should write, phone call we should make. Don't wait for December 25th. Do it today and tomorrow and every day. For God so loved that he gave. If we have God's love in our heart, guess what we're going to do? Give, give, give. Heavenly Father, this morning, how many Christmases have there been when we haven't received very much, and that's okay. But Lord, those Christmases when we felt backed into a corner, when we couldn't give anything, there aren't too many worse feelings on the face of this globe. You've called each one of us to be giving. And Lord, remind us, as we give in your love and grace, it's going to come back to us 100-fold. We're going to try to get a bigger bucket so we can give more, and it's just going to keep on coming back. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for setting the example. Help us to follow it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let the record show he finally finished by 12 o'clock.
Please stand with us as we sing Silent Night, first and fourth.
now may you leave this place with that babe of the Bethlehem manger born anew in your hearts and lives, that you might go out into the world and show them that unconditional love of God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.